Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. It is great to be along with you. China, to me, poses a great threat. One of the greatest threats to America besides Joe Biden in the Oval Office. I've said for a long time, Joe Biden in the Oval Office is the greatest national security risk this nation faces. Next to Joe Biden in the Oval Office, maybe because of his, I would call it nearly an embrace of China. China is the next greatest threat to America. And I'm looking at the latest economic numbers out. And man, oh man, now it looks like China is kicking our butts on the global economy stage. Now, I'm not sure I trust all the numbers coming out of China, so I will preface it with that. But when China reports an $82.6 billion trade surplus, meaning they're exporting $82.6 billion more than they import, and America reports a $74.6 billion deficit, meaning we import more than we export. This is a huge swing of what's going on the global economy with China winning. Even if they've inflated their numbers, they're not going to inflate the numbers as much where they'd somehow be losing to the United States. Clearly, that's not the case. So even with inflated numbers, they're still kicking the United States butt. That has a huge impact on us here and our own economy here and how we handle things. So I want to bring in the new federal state of China. Ayla Wang is with us for today's episode. Don't forget Stinchfield 1776 on all the social media platforms for me, as well as grantstinchfield.com. But with that, let's get the show started, folks.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, as promised, Ayla Wang is our guest with the new federal state of China, the organization aimed at taking down the CCP. Ayla, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you for having me today.
All right, so a lot to talk about. I want to talk about some military operations of China in the Philippines. I also want to talk about so-called, quote, ghost towns. CNN is reporting on this, and I want to get your take on these rural cities and what this means in China, just disappearing in China. And then starting off, though, with what I think maybe has the most effect on us here in America is our trade deficit, Chinese trade surplus, $82.6 billion trade surplus coming out of China. That has to bode well for China at a time when I was under the impression their economy was somewhat maybe on the brink.
Exactly, Grant. Today, you know, China's economy has facing huge challenges after the COVID pandemic. Obviously, you know, if you look at housing market is one of the important signals for everybody to understand where China's economy stands. You look at the major cities in China, Beijing, Shanghai, Shenzhen, all these economic cities, they're selling out the top luxury mansions and people are trying to transfer their assets into foreign currencies. Every single, you know, post, if you look at the housing market, the price has been ripped off half again and again, and people are trying out, you know, trying to sell their assets. This is what the real economic that China is facing right now. But in terms of, you know, the surplus of the trading, it was one of the common strategy that the CCP had always been using, right? When Yellen visited China, she had made very clear that the United States already observed a dumping policies that interfered with the economy in the United States. And today, CCP remain the same. You know, my guess was, you know, if they do not continue to produce such surplus, it will cause huge financial crisis in the factories and in all of trades internally in China as well.
All right. So I was looking at some of the numbers. Appliances up 18%. This is exporting them, not selling them inside China. And then there is a tremendous push by Xi Jinping to build more factories in China. This is underway, but all for exports. And I'm looking at this, and then I see the other quiet number that consumer spending, meaning the amount of dollars the citizens are spending in their own cities and towns, is way off in China. So there's very little consumer spending as Xi Jinping exports all this stuff out. To me, on the surface, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I take away the prospect that the rich then, the CCP party members in China, were probably getting rich off of all these exports while the actual people in China suffer.
Exactly, Grant. You look at, you know, even with people who actually worked for the government, right? People who have been, you know, registered with the government as an employee of any, you know, State Department offices in China, that their salary has been cut off since COVID pandemic. And many, you know, teachers in the schools, there has been a delay in delivering their salaries to the towns. I'll give you, you know, several numbers, like in some of the towns that even a bank started to lend money from a bigger bank because they were owing, you know, monies to, you know, to people who actually deposit. And so we have now facing probably one of the largest financial crises in China, within China. And now that Xi was still continuing to using the surplus and the dumping policies and to try to maintain the fake image of China's prosperity. And obviously, you already tell where the problem is through the numbers that you just gave.
Yeah. It doesn't bode well for the people of China. And this would make me think the people of China have to understand this, but do they get the news that the higher ups are prospering? Are they understanding that they're being held down as Xi Jinping and all his buddies are making millions?
Grant, I think it is a secret that was no longer a secret in China. It is a secret because Chinese people are not able to publicly criticize about how CCP's officials taking prosperity from people's wealth, you know, in the past. Again, if you look at jewelry industry, if you look at, you know, state level constructions, all of these major industries, they were controlled by CCP officials' family members. You look at insurance companies, housing companies, every single one of them became white gloves of one of the CCP official members. You look at the big business tycoons, right? People don't ask where Jack Ma is today because obviously he was controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. He disappeared from the public. You never heard of him giving out speeches into universities anymore, right? You look at, we talk about how Wanzhou Group, Dalian Wanzhou Group acquired AMC a couple years ago, but you look at the leader of Dalian Wanzhou Group, Wang Jianling, who is he, where is he today? He was able to travel to the United States several years ago. Now even his companies and his shopping malls in China went into liquidation. This is what the Chinese Communist Party did. They rip off, you know, commonwealth in normal Chinese people and ordinary Chinese deplorables, the Lao Bai Xing. They also rip off the wealth that their white gloves, their agents has earned, you know, from their connection with the Chinese Communist Party.
So do you think people like Jack Ma, the other businessman you mentioned, I mean, typically they're looked at as billionaires, they disappear. When you say disappear, have they just gone into hiding or have they been killed? Are they dead or imprisoned someplace and no one knows?
All possibilities could occur. You know, Jack Ma was having, there has been security teams following and stalking these businessmen. And in fact, that if we look at back in the history of the whistleblowers movement, one of the press conference that Miles Guo made in November 20th, 2018, he mentioned about millions of Chinese celebrities, public figures, and businessmen disappeared ever since Xi Jinping stepped up the office in China. And so you look at that, and that accumulate all of the numbers even equal to people who disappeared from the Cultural Revolution. And so you think about that, you know, when people are, you know, dying and you know, there are also suicidal reports about businessmen every single year, you know, every year. And in fact, that if you look at it, you know, if you look at the businessman's death, Wang Jian, the CEO of Hainan Airline, which, you know, an airline company that was actually controlled by the former vice premier, Wang Qishan. This CEO, this Chinese businessman died, strangely in the southern of France. And there has been different stories of his versions of death. Mm. And in fact, that Mr. Guo sent out investigation team to investigate the death reasons, and the hotels, you know, where the businessman lived has been, you know, harassed by the Chinese Communist Party's security officials, saying that they no longer, you know, they are no longer able to share details with any other persons. And when, you know, Mr. Guo's investigation team interviewed the local policemen, they were asked to stop investigation. And in fact, that from the photos that, you know, the former investigation team sent back to Mr. Guo, there has been needles on the businessman when he fell off the cliffs. And obviously, the needles was not, you know, randomly found on the floor, right? Somebody must place the needles on him after he fell off the cliff. And all of their family members were asked to silence after the death of the businessman. So this is the reality of how the Chinese Communist Party treated business tycoons, treated public figures. Every single one of them are victims of the Chinese Communist Party. And this is exactly why we, the new federal state of China, have only one sole mission, is to take down the Chinese Communist Party.
You know, I have to say, when you look at your founder, Miles Gua, along with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon actually is headed to prison July 1st, if you can believe it. Talk about political persecution right here in the United States. That man is now headed to prison for contempt of Congress, which is something nobody except Trump supporters like Peter Navarro have to go to prison for. When you look at that, I'm surprised that Xi Jinping had not managed to get a hold of Miles even here in the United States. I mean, With all of the tentacles that he has reached out, I'm sure Miles had to do everything, because in many respects, I don't know, he's blessed to be alive.
Exactly. And Grant, you know, since you mentioned about Mr. Steve Bannon, right, and who is a friend of us, you know, and a supporter of the mission to take down the Chinese Communist Party as well. If you go back to, you know, Mr. Guo's broadcast and whistleblowing in the past several years ago, one of the strategies that CCP used is to send their political enemies into jail. And this was primarily why, you know, the businessmen, their political opponents were placed in jail. And we've discussed that before. One of the videos that Mr. Guo said that, you know, the way that the CCP can interfere the United States, can drag down their economy and to change, you know, the world politics dynamics so that the CCP could be the king of the world, was they can, you know, use criminal cases against people who have been publicly criticizing the Chinese Communist Party, such as Peter Navarro, such as Mr. Steve Bannon. And today we look at what happened to, you know, the two heroes in the United States. That's exactly what the CCP strategy is. So this is where we need to, you know, pay attention, and we need to fight stronger and fight harder. The Chinese Communist Party is now the biggest enemy of the United States. It is not only, you know, the enemy of the Chinese people. Their hands has been into the land of the United States. Their hands has been trapping the heroes and the patriots here in the United States.
Yeah, I think that is most certainly very true, clearly, and we see it on a daily basis here. Going back to this idea of the trade surplus, you know, China uses the tactics of bookmakers, loan sharks, mafia. I mean, this is literally how they do it. And they use money and loans and all of these things to control different countries. I just read an article about Guatemala, which I wouldn't think they would have this huge trade with anybody. But China right now is putting the screws to Guatemala, because Guatemala is the only Central American country that has diplomatic ties to Taiwan. So China says, we're not going to take any of your coffee. And anybody that knows Guatemala, coffee is very big in Guatemala. Guatemalan leadership there is just stunned at China's denial to take any coffee from them. But again, this is all about Taiwan, and so they use money to try to get what they want.
Exactly, Grant. You know, from individual level to state level, diplomatic level, that's all the same. If Chinese Communist Party wants to silence you, they seize your assets, they rip off all of your family and business wealth, you know, that accumulated in the past decades. That was, you know, how they treated political opponent and political critiques. And in terms of state level, right, whoever had built official relationship with China are now on the target list of the Chinese Communist Party. They can harass you through economically, through diplomatically, through militarily. This is all common strategy that the CCP have been using for decades, not just this year. You look at Taiwan, Chinese Communist Party actually published the policies and, you know, to cancel all of the benefits trading policies that were established in the past, in return, you know, to harass Taiwan to surrender to the policy of the Chinese Communist Party. And it happens to every country, not just Taiwan, not just Hong Kong, Guatemala, Mexico, United States. Every country has been on this target list of the Chinese Communist Party. If you don't surrender to CCP's tyranny, this is what exactly they can do to you.
You know, I'm surprised. We do this podcast usually Thursday or Friday. Lately, it's been Fridays we've been doing this. I always wonder, is the next Friday, the Friday Ayla and I are going to talk about China has already gone into Taiwan, or China has now taken over Taiwan. Will it happen during the week in between when we're doing podcasts? I have to believe it's got to be imminent. And if he doesn't, if Xi Jinping, that is, if he doesn't go in soon, he runs the risk of President Trump then becoming president. And he's not going to want to try this under the Trump administration, which is why I would think from Xi Jinping's perspective, time is of the essence right now.
Grant, I'll give you one information. You know, in a previous broadcast that Miles did, you know, there is a signal that you can probably distinguish if she is ready to invade Taiwan. I mean, really, not just on paper, not just issue order internally. If there will be time that the Chinese Communist Party internally read out, you know, Xi's order by separating its risks, by giving out disclaimers saying, you know, if United States has been interfering into Taiwan's diplomatic issues, then it is the time for the Chinese Communist Party to clear out, to express its military stance. And so, you know, by confusing the public and by confusing the Chinese people, that the CCP would potentially made, you know, such kind of like a waiver of risks to the public, saying that it was not us to initiate the military attack on Taiwan. It was because we need to defend Taiwan for its further interfered by the by the United States. And if we see such announcements issued by the Chinese Communist Party, it was probably the time for them to actually launch the physical attack against Taiwan.
All right. And we have not, in your opinion, seen that yet. Is that correct, Ayla?
Right. They have been, you know, they have been sending out largest ever, you know, scale, you know, of military practices. There has been spokesperson from the PLA, People's Liberation Army, controlled by the CCP, stood out, are saying, you know, Taiwan will be reunited. However, I think, you know, time has been very limited. And as you said, I think she was very close to make that announcement and launch that attack.
All right. So we shall see. I know they continue to expand military operations. I saw this story this time, the Philippines, which they've got a new president, this Ferdinand Marcos, who seems to be trying to solidify ties with the United States. That can't bode well for China. Philippines, not that far from mainland China. This was some social media posts I saw of people taking video off the coast of the Philippines of Chinese warships. Let me show you here.
Warship bomb number 282. This is Philippine Navy. Let me fill out. Come in. What is where you send your last port and your next port of call? Over.
All right, so it's almost as if they don't want to be seen taking video of these ships. There's other video as well. Let me see if I can pull it up here. So in many respects, Ayla, that's got to be a very frightening sight. If you're a tiny Philippines and you're seeing the powerful Chinese Navy off your coast.
Right, Grant. You know, what I would say is that CCP's Navy warship was actually, you know, there every time. You know, I was not surprised to see that the Chinese Communist Party continue to have that military threat on the Filipino Sea area. In fact, that if we look at the joint statements by leader of Philippines, Japan, and America and United States made, you know, several weeks ago, it is absolutely the reason that the Chinese Communist Party further pressure, you know, Philippines. And you know, what I want to point out is, you know, do not just look at the warships. Look at those fisher boats and other cargo ships that the CCP might have used as cover, you know, for military threat, for military purposes as well. In fact, that many of the cargo ships, you know, arrived, you know, in South America was also for military purposes by the Chinese Communist Party as well. This is a common strategy.
We had talked about them, of them being disguised, these cargo ships being disguised when actually they're actually warships. And this has to be strict, flat out intimidation. That's what this is. Now, China says, oh, we're just traveling through, you know, free waters or whatever their claim is. But this is intimidation. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the military expansion that she wanted, you know, at the time of at this time before the election, I think, you know, she will exaggerate that military threats and military tension, not just the Filipino, not just Taiwan. You look at all of the areas that the CCP had planted out their military facilities and those disguised military cargo ships, every single places that you saw today is occupied by the Chinese Communist Party, and CCP's military threats is literally steps away from us.
Wow. Which is really quite frightening as well, as we hear stories of Chinese military ships moving closer and closer to the United States, including ones disguised as cargo ships. And then we don't even know what's coming. And then I've heard stories of Russian submarines coming closer into the United States. And we know that China and Russia are working together. It really is a tinderbox that takes strong leadership. And sadly, I don't think we have strong leadership right now. I don't think anything changes until really the best way to beat China, Ayla, I think you'd agree, is to beat them economically, that we've got to cut off their money supply, and them having a trade surplus certainly doesn't help do that.
Exactly, Grant. You know, if we don't decouple from Chinese Communist Party, the CCP would be able to use every single method that they can use. If their cargo ships were able to stop by South America, if their agents were able to actually travel into the United States without being investigated by the government, if their, you know, surplus could be absorbed by United States, again and again, you know, we have yet, you know, it was almost saying that the United States is surrendering to Communist Party day by day.
Yeah. On another topic I wanted to bring up to you, I saw a piece on CNN. You know, I often watch what I would dub as the enemy, the propaganda station. But they had this piece. There was a reporter in mainland China talking about what he dubbed as ghost towns. Now, your definition is something different, and I want you to talk about that. We'll watch a little bit of this reporter's piece on these abandoned rural villages due to what he describes as urbanization, meaning moving so many people into the cities. But let's play it and then get the truth of how you think things are playing out here. Let's watch.
In parts of rural China, time stands still. We're on a road trip to show you what's known as a ghost village. We are technically still in Beijing, about 40 miles from the city center. And we came here to show how people have moved over time. This was once a thriving village. Now it's almost abandoned. Houses in the village are overgrown with weeds. In this home, reminders children were once here. Artwork and school certificates hang on the wall. Shoes lay on the ground. We don't know exactly what this once was, but it's clearly locked up. The windows are broken. No one has been here for a while. To give you some context, in the 1980s, only about 20% of Chinese families lived in cities. Now that number is closer to 70%. This village reflects that transition. This shift isn't without side effects. As young people move to cities for better opportunities and jobs, in some cases, they're leaving parents, even children, behind. Urbanization on such a massive scale has drastically changed the economic and social landscape across rural China. What's happening here isn't that much of a surprise. Modernization has been a big part of the Chinese government's blueprint for the future, an effort to keep up with the strength of the West. So we're seeing this movement from farm to factory and now beyond.
So, Ayla, what do you make of that report? Legitimacy to it? Is he on to something or is he mistaken?
Well, I think, Grant, urbanization is definitely taking place in China. But the problem is there is different definition of ghost town. When Chinese people mention about a ghost town, it was not, you know, used as a term for urbanization. It was a term for us to describe, you know, how when disasters happened, you know, including flood, natural disasters, and that take place almost every year in China, that there will be, villages that disappeared the entire entire population. You look at Zhengzhou flood, you look at Shenzhen, you look at, you know, the southern part, and you even look at, you know, some, you know, projects that were actually caused a tsunami and a flood in China, that all the ghost town was meant, you know, to describe that after these disasters, the Chinese Communist Party never report on the loss of population in the nearby villages. And then it was, it was the ordinary Chinese people who traveled to those villages and found out that no one actually survived from CCP-made disasters in China. And this is the time when Chinese people name certain places as ghost town. So modernization, urbanization is absolutely, you know, taking place in China every single day. I would not give it a decent excuse of, you know, how families were left in the villages or how families were forced to move to other places for better work opportunities, for better school educations, and even, you know, for better Medicare, you know, benefits, right? We look at today that if you still look at rural villages in China, most of the villages, you know, where people lived in were children and very elderly people. The middle-aged parents were forced to leave those towns in order to survive and to make a living for their families. What left behind is about no one was being able to take care of about medications, you know, about educations. These children were forced to do works at a very young age. They were forced to separate from their parents from very young age. Many children, you know, survive from starvation every single year and would be only to see their parents, you know, one or two times a year. And this happened to millions of families in China. And that was not covered by the CNN Fancy Report. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we talk about modernization and urbanization today, it literally is not an excuse, you know, to refresh the image of big cities in China. It is exactly the crime that the CCP had done to millions and millions of Chinese families, where children and their parents were separated, when their elderly, you know, generation in the family were not being taken care of, you know, of their children. And this is exactly what happened with CCP. You know, they want you to work, you know, tirelessly from, you know, early morning till midnight, and they force you to forget your families in order to survive in a society controlled by the communist regime.
Well, it certainly is a reminder of just how bad the everyday people of China have it under the thumb of the Chinese Communist Party. And I appreciate the reminder. I think it's important for Americans to see what they're going for, not just for humanity's sake and trying to decouple from China economically to help those people, but also as a warning sign of what can happen in America if we're not careful and protective of our liberties here. Ayla Wang, it's great having you on the program. So happy to work with the new federal state of China, the organization aimed at taking down the CCP. God bless you and all the whistleblowers who go to great risk to get us many of the information you give us. Thank you, Ayla. I appreciate you coming on today.
Grant, thank you so much.
All right. Always great to see you, Ayla. And folks, that's going to do it for us today on this edition of Stinchfield. I want to remind you, Stinchfield 1776, for all the social media platforms, just about everywhere except TikTok, not Grant Stinchfield. Is where I am on the new TikTok, just like President Trump. We figure we'll give it a try. On my burner phone that is completely separate from anything that I use or do, which is just another sign of why you got to beware of China. I have a burner phone to use TikTok. It's really crazy. All right, well, that's going to do it. We'll see you on the Real America's Voice show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I look forward to seeing you there. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. Thanks for watching, folks.